Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have a number of news topics that we'd like to get to, but we might take calls from generated from yesterday's show. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Yesterday, we were discussing why money is not the gold standard. I'd like to get back to that today or soon. Also, Texas Governor Rick Perry calls Social Security a bankrupt Ponzi scheme. And how could you argue with that? Well, maybe it's not quite bankrupt because the government brings as much money into existence as it seems to need. And so they keep paying the bills for now. France's president, Sarkozy, signed a new law upping the French retirement age from 60 to 62. No wonder Jesus called people children, right? Children. What is the government doing saying when people should retire? How could the staff here, Bob and your live, you guys are all fired. Everybody go home. You're all retired. It's just so bizarre. And then there's Vice President Joe Biden. According to the LA Times, Biden meets today on government transparency, but that meeting is closed to the public. It's just too much. It's all wild. And then we have Ken Ham's great magazine, Answers Magazine. His ministry is Answers in Genesis. And there are three news blurbs. And real quickly, they all have to do with creation. You've heard of the Institute for Creation Research? Well, for 30 years, they've had a master's degree program in science where you could get a master's degree in astronomy, physics, chemistry, biology for 30 years. And they moved their school from California to Texas. And the Texas education authorities have denied certification. And so now this leading Christian ministry is not able to give master's degrees in science any longer. And that was upheld by a U.S. district judge. That's pretty cruel toward Christians, right? Pretty cruel. The left, the liberals, the beautiful people, they talk about tolerance and diversity and free speech and freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, and they're all liars. They're all hypocrites. Then we also have, and by the way, George W. Bush appointed this nominated a federal judge in Dover, Pennsylvania. And that judge just lambasted Christians and creationists in a case involving teaching intelligent design in schools there. And if you could read his ruling, he writes as a judge would write, but you see through that, it's just dripping with hatred of anyone who believes in a creator God. And that's a George W. Bush judge. Then there's a U.S. Circuit Court that has ruled that state universities in California can reject science credits from any high school, any Christian high school that teaches creation. How's that one? Any Christian high school that teaches creation in their science classes. And so Christian high school graduates can be essentially shut out of the University of California system because of the beautiful people who run it. And lastly, also in California, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, they have the JPL Cassini Space Probe Project. And there's a Christian who is a team leader on the JPL Cassini Space Probe. His name is David Coppedge, C-O-P-P-E-D-G, and he shared a couple DVDs with his colleagues, and they wanted them. He shared them. The DVDs we sell here at Bob and Yurt Live, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, Privileged Planet. He shared a couple with some colleagues, and they demoted him. He's no longer a team leader on the Jet Propulsion Laboratory Cassini Space Probe. So that's a bit of an example of the persecution of Christians. And Ken Ham, the president of Answers in Genesis, has a tremendous quote in this current edition, December 2010. He says, "Since Western culture has rejected the authority of God's word, abortion, homosexuality, and euthanasia have become rampant." And he says, "But these evils are only symptoms of a deeper problem. God's word is the only firm foundation for building a just society." And how right he is. And when our government and our leaders think that they can kill unborn children, what do you think they'll think about you as a Christian? What will they do or not do to you as a Christian if they think they could actually kill innocent children? As our leaders think on both sides of the political aisle. Yesterday, we had a phone call from Jim from Parker, and Jim has called back in. Jim, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me back on. I sure appreciate what you do.
Thank you, sir. So what's up, Jim?
You know, I was really just hoping to try to find out more about your fascinating political theory that by not voting, you're doing the Lord's will. I just kind of like to flesh out more of your ideas about that.
Sure. Well, thank you. That's a neat opportunity. Jim, if you have, just to talk about the principle, okay, because God gives us principles and then we apply them in our lives. So when people came to Jesus and said, "What is it, A or B?" the Lord would answer C. They'd say, "Well, look, it's either A or B." And he'd say, "Actually, no, I disagree. It's C." And so if we are easily manipulated, we could be told by a criminal, pick which of your two children I'm going to kill, because you got to pick and I'm going to kill one. And we might say, "No, you know what? No, Jim, if there were millions of people who lived in Germany in the 1900s, now that's not the Middle Ages, that's the 1900s, the height of European education, science, art, and there were entire districts where the two leading parties were the Nazis and the Marxists. So if you have to choose between the Nazis or the Marxists, you may say, "You know what? I'm not going to vote for either because they're both willing to kill innocent people, so I refuse."
And thereby you let other people make those choices for you then.
Well, that's a false analysis of that situation.
See, I don't think it is.
Well,
and let's bring it back to the American vote.
Well,
which
wait,
is
no,
what we
let's
initially
stay
discussed.
There first. Let's stay there first. So, Jim, you're a German, and it's 1938.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you live in Berlin.
Yep.
And the two leading parties, now there are some districts in Germany where the Marxists and the Nazis were the two leading parties. They got between them an absolute majority of the vote.
Yep.
And so you're trying to decide and you're trying to counsel the people at your church who to vote for. And so I guess you're going to pick the lesser of two evils and you're trying to calculate who's going to kill more innocent people, the Nazis and Hitler, or the social, or the Marxist and Stalin.
But if it had gotten to that point, I might surprise you, and I would actually try to form a revolution from within Germany to stop both of those parties.
So you're acknowledging that it's more of a cliche to say you have to vote, because
If you want to take it to an extreme case, yes, well, I would absolutely see your point.
Okay.
But I don't feel that a pro-life candidate or a conservative candidate versus a progressive candidate, who may or may not disagree with you on a few points, is worthy of me not participating in the political process.
Okay, so let's get to there in a moment. I'm thrilled that we've made some common ground. And you've recognized that it's not an absolute evil to say, "I'm not going to vote for either one."
No, I never said it was an absolute evil. I just think it's foolish not to vote for the Colorado Senate election, which was kind of spurred this discussion.
Okay, so we're in agreement that there is a standard by which you might reject both candidates if there are only two. We're in agreement with that. So then the question becomes, what is the standard? What is the standard, and how much evil, how much admitted evil is someone willing to tolerate to support a candidate, and how much evil does God approve of us tolerating to support a candidate? So okay, those are the questions.
We're both in agreement that the Nazi Germany scenario would not provide a good vote on either side. Now let's bring it back to the Bennett and Buck election, which is what we wanted to talk about.
Perfect.
And my argument is that it is better to vote for the conservative, whether they agree with all of your pro-life points or not, as opposed to allowing a person like Michael Bennett, who will say anything to get elected. He will vote for anything that the Democrats throw his way, and I don't believe he serves the best interests of the people of Colorado.
All right. Now, the standard, how do we determine whether supporting a leader is wrong, sinful, or acceptable and justifiable?
We're not talking about supporting a leader here. We're talking about picking between two individuals.
Well, no, okay, how do we determine whether voting for a politician is acceptable, justifiable, or is it sin? Is it wrong? How do we determine that? And
okay.
So in what you just said, you use the word conservative and implying that maybe if he claims to be conservative or you think he's conservative, then you could vote for him. I would say the judgment ultimately is made by God, and we need to ask God to give us the wisdom to make decisions that honor him, that he would be proud of, decisions that he could bless.
And so when you prayed about this decision, God told you specifically, let other people make this decision for you, Bob.
No, I don't talk to God. I read his word. I read God's word. And in his word, he lays out principles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his leading principles regarding governance, in fact, it's the leading principle, is thou shalt not murder. Elsewhere, he words it this way, do not kill the innocent. And God says in the Bible, when a society tolerates the killing of the innocent, God says he holds the entire society guilty. They're all guilty of murdering the innocent person, slaughtering the child sacrifice, if society tolerates it.
Mm-hmm.
So worse than tolerating is actually supporting it or funding it, or putting judges on the bench who will advocate the killing of innocent children. So my understanding of God's word is that I should never do anything to tolerate or enable the killing of a single innocent person.
So thereby you decided to let other people choose for you who did want to vote.
That's a straw man.
No,
Jason.
It's not really, because
let's test it from what you've already admitted. Germany, you admitted that if you have the Marxist or the Nazis, you're justified in voting for neither.
Mm-hmm.
So what you just said was you would say to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the greatest Christian leaders of the 20th century, or the Ten Boom family, Corey Ten Boom, you would say to them, oh, so you didn't vote for the Nazis or the Marxists? You just let other people decide for you. That's superficial, Jim. It's immature.
No,
it's off topic.
Not immature, because guess what? We weren't voting for a Marxist and a Nazi here.
Well, no, I'm testing,
we were voting for a
Jim,
progressive or a conservative.
Jim, I'm testing your principles. I'm testing your ability to think about right and wrong.
So, and I have thought,
Jim,
it out.
You chuckle a lot when we're talking about serious issues.
I understand, because
okay,
basically what you're accusing me is, you're saying because I wouldn't want to vote for a Marxist or a Nazi, that I shouldn't vote for a progressive or a conservative.
No, I'm not making that point. I'm testing your argument to see if it's valid. You're saying if I don't vote for one or the other, I'm wrong because I'm letting other people choose. But you already admitted there are circumstances in which you should not vote for one or the other, so your test is invalid. You have contradicted, Jim, you've contradicted yourself. So you need to... So, Jim,
Yeah.
You need to find a different test. If your conclusion is valid, you're not defending it well. So do you have another way of showing that Christians should vote for politicians who are willing to kill some innocent children?
Sure.
Do you have another way of showing that?
I do. Let's go with the example of Afghanistan. The current administration's rules of engagement have cost more American lives in 2 years than the entire 6 years that Bush was alive. So am I to draw the conclusion, because of the policies of the rules of engagement, the current administration doesn't care about the killing of American soldiers, where the conservative, the Republican, who I may disagree with on certain points, obviously cared more about the American soldiers and not allowing them to die through foolish policies. So therefore, I would seek to encourage and vote for the conservative candidate based on that principle, which also goes back to your whole argument.
Jim,
you don't want people who would murder other people, and you're talking about the unborn.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm talking about soldiers. Does that analogy bridge the gap for you?
No, it doesn't. If a politician said, I advocate killing some innocent people, then that politician, by his own admission, is guilty of shedding innocent blood. And if you help him, then you're guilty also. If a politician has a view on whether or not we should engage in a just war, how aggressive we should be, how many ground troops, or whether we should just do bombing from unmanned aerial vehicles, those are not issues of fundamental morality. They're issues of tactics, unless somebody said, hey, I'm going to intentionally kill the innocent because I think that'll bring about a better foreign policy objective. So, Jim, I think you're obfuscating when you go to Afghanistan. I think you're obfuscating.
Okay, then let me bring it back home for you. Do you or do you not support Republican conservative candidates? Yes or no?
As a general rule, the Republicans have kept abortion legal in America. So as a general rule, the Republicans are guilty of the bloodshed of tens of millions of innocent children.
And so, they will answer to God for that.
Right. And so would I, if I vote for them, knowing that they slaughter children by the millions, then I would have to answer to God also.
And now, do you agree that the Democrat, as part of their platform, is pro-choice? Yes or no?
Yes.
So why would you abstain from an election when you know your candidate may be more pro-life than the enemy, so to speak, in the Democrat, who is pro-choice by you sitting out this last election?
Jim,
aren't you guilty of bloodshed as well?
I gave you three answers to that question yesterday. Do you remember what any of them are?
I do, and I didn't think that your analogies were very good,
me. No, not analogies. I answered your question. I gave you three answers. Do you know what they were?
I do.
What were they? What was the first one, or what was one?
You know what, Bob? I'm not going to repeat them because they didn't
convince me. Jim, I don't think you know what the answers were. I don't think you were listening because you wouldn't
I was listening. Roe versus Wade, which you kind of tricked me on, which is actually David Souter, who tricked the Republican and the Republican Congress into appointing him, and then it turned out he was a flaming progressive.
David Souter wasn't on the court when Roe v. Wade was passed in January 22, 1973. It was written by a Republican justice, Harry Blackmun. Seven of the nine justices were Republican at that time. Roe v. Wade passed by a five-vote majority of five Republicans voting for Roe v. Wade,
Excuse me, then I misspoke. I apologize.
All right.
But your example was Roe v. Wade.
Okay, now that was the first, right? Roe v. Wade, the Republicans gave us Roe v. Wade. By the end of George W. Bush's...
So are all Republicans evil?
No.
Is this the conclusion I'm to draw?
No, that's a straw man. I never said that. My second point was, by the end of George W. Bush's second term, the Republicans, we had elected literally thousands of pro-life Republicans in the last 40 years, thousands. The Republicans had put the vast majority of the judges on the federal bench, the federal judiciary. So we've done what you've said we should do for the last 40 years. And the federal judiciary is overwhelmingly pro-choice.
Agreed.
It's pro-choice.
Ninth Circuit is a joke, and so, I think they should get rid of all those judges.
Jim, the judges that George W. Bush and his father and Ronald Reagan put in office and put on the Supreme Court, they've given us abortion. They're aggressively pro-abortion. So when you want people to think that the Democrats are the ones who give us abortion and we have to believe the Republicans that they're pro-life, that's politically naive.
I'm not being naive. I told you it's the lesser of two evils. I don't like the decisions either. But right now, you're advocating that people not vote, which basically allows other people to make the choice for
them.
I
voted. And I encourage people to vote. I talked about voting for 18 months before the election. I don't know when you started. And for U.S. Senate, I voted for Greg Jackson.
Okay. Well, good.
I don't know. Who did you vote?
How did Greg Jackson vote?
Who did you vote for governor?
I voted for Tom Sancredo.
You threw away your vote.
No, I didn't. In fact,
he came in a close second. He got slaughtered.
He didn't get slaughtered. It was 40% to 50%, and Dan Mays got 11.
He was in the 30s. He got 37%. He got slaughtered. Hickenlooper got more than an absolute majority.
You could add up Dan Mays and Tancredo, and Hickenlooper still beat him. Okay, under your current premise, I threw away my vote
It's not my premise. It's a cliche that I hear Republican cheerleaders argue for 20 years on the air. Don't throw away your vote.
Okay, so you're accusing me of throwing away my vote
No, I'm not.
You're being facetious. I understand.
Yeah, I'm being facetious.
So because you voted for Jackson. How did he do? Did he get 1%, I think? 2%?
No, he didn't register as a write-in, so they didn't tally it.
Oh, it wasn't even calculable.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to register as a write-in in Colorado for them to tally it. It's Greg with 3 G's, by the way. So when there is a decision to be made as to whether or not you should vote for a candidate, I think little by little you're agreeing with me that the arguments that you are using don't really work in all circumstances, which tells us that they're not arguments of basic right and wrong. They're tactical. They're political opinion. And God's opinion, I know you agree, supersedes your opinion. So you might think it's terrible to not vote. You might think that's terrible. God says it's terrible to vote for someone. Well, I don't want to put it that way. God doesn't talk about voting. God says it's terrible to tolerate or to enable the intentional killing of the innocent. And God uses words worse than terrible. So you're thinking, well, because I don't want to throw away my vote or because I don't want to vote, I'm going to vote for someone who tells me he'll kill the innocent because I like my child killer more than the Democratic child killer. The way God looks at it, they're both child killers. And the one who is more Christian or the one who is more conservative or the one who says he's pro-life is the one that God judges more harshly. Do you agree with that, Jim, generally?
I do.
The one that looks good, who really will kill the innocent, he's the one God gets more angry at. Because you could never win when your leaders are the enemy. You could never win when you vote for child killers. You could never win because after thousands of Republican pro-lifers put in office, Jim, like you want us to do yet again, we have 50 million children slaughtered by the Republicans.
Do you know why I voted for Ken Buck then?
Tell me.
Because there's more than one issue, Bob. The country is going bankrupt. I don't like the socialism that's coming out of the Democrat Party.
Let's discuss that then, Jim. You have murder and you have economics. Which does God say is more significant? The bloodshed, the shedding of innocent blood, or financial issues? Which does God weigh in on that topic? Does he prioritize them?
Of course life is more important. But guess what? We, unfortunately, are burdened with the political system that we are giving.
Yeah, we have two different candidates.
In most cases, it was pretty obvious that either Michael Bennett or Ken Buck were going to get elected, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I decided, and many, many other intelligent Christians like me, to go for the conservative candidate. because of economic issues, because of pro-life issues, because of pro-choice issues.
That is a great tragedy. It's a great tragedy. Many Germans, Lutherans, thought that with their runaway inflation, their out-of-control economy, that the Nazis, even though they weren't really good, they were a lot better than the Marxists. And if I vote my pocketbook, I'm going to vote for Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists. I have more economic security with them. At the time of the Lord Jesus, it was Herod. And Jesus condemned the Herodians. There were Jewish leaders who thought that Herod was better. He was the lesser of two evils, and he only killed people by the dozens. He didn't kill people by the millions like the Republicans do.
But so, we're not living under those times. We're not in Nazi Germany.
We are living in Bible times today, the New Testament, and we are living in the times when they slaughter the innocent by the millions. And Jim, a nation that slaughters its children doesn't deserve a better standard of living, doesn't deserve good health care. And the Bible says better is justice than vast revenues.
So you're one of those
vast
people
revenues.
That believe we deserve punishment. We deserve economic punishment. We deserve wartime punishment because of our behavior.
I don't know what you mean. You're one of those people. The nation that slaughters its children doesn't deserve prosperity. And when you say, I will vote for a candidate who tells me he'll slaughter children because I want more money in my checking account, you're making a calculation that grieves God.
I think I'd love to hold over to the next break if you can, but I think there's still a false premise that you're living by on this.
All right, Jim, thank you. And our website is kgov.com. May God bless you all.